it better. Girl, what I'm thinking is I can pick you up, you slide in this truck, and I can hear you singing. Let me hear you singing. Ooh. Ooh. Freedom is the miles we're rolling on. Ooh. Out here cruising to a backroom song. I feel the wheels like a melody, like a radio dialing in strong. Come on, sing along to my backroom song. Sing along to my back road song. This is my back road song. This is my back road song. Come on, sing along.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a GOP House hearing today focusing on the U.S. chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan more than 3 years ago, Secretary of State Antony Blinken testifying and pushing back, saying the Biden administration inherited the deal made by the outgoing Trump administration with the Taliban to withdraw. Blinken now heading to Turkey later this week after Syrian rebels toppled the Assad regime. ABC's Brit Klinik says working to keep the region from spiraling further.
The emphasis will be on a stable transition to try and calm fears in the region of a power vacuum and the lawlessness that may ensue. We heard from Blinken's team from the State Department saying that they will head there to reiterate the United States' support for an inclusive Syrian government.
Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth still meeting with senators on Capitol Hill. His latest talks with Senator Susan Collins today as he tries to shore up support before his confirmation hearings. This is ABC News. D'Antonio. Quantum computers are specialized computers intended to solve math problems. Traditional digital computers can't. And Google is making some big claims about its latest quantum chip.
Google's latest processor is so powerful, it just may prove the existence of parallel universes. That's what Google Quantum AI founder Harmit Nevin says about Willow, the company's new chip. In a blog post, he says it did a calculation that would take the world's current supercomputers 10 septillion years. That exceeds the age of the known universe, which Nevin says lends credence to the notion that quantum computing must take place in many parallel universes. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The University of North Carolina Board of Trustees expected to name Bill Belichick as the next head football coach today. Belichick is a six-time Super Bowl champion. UNC leaders hope hiring Belichick is the next step to making traditional basketball, baseball school, and football powerhouse. Shel Franz and ABC.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Let's face it. Winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The teen who allegedly assaulted and killed Lily Peters was in court Tuesday. The 16-year-old, identified as CPB in court documents, stood mute at his arraignment in Chippewa County Court. Not guilty pleas to intentional homicide, sexual assault, and child sexual assault were entered on his behalf. The teen is accused of assaulting and killing the 12-year-old girl in April of 2022, then hiding her body. Police say CPB allegedly admitted to the attack, saying he wanted to know what it felt like to kill someone. The case is being held in adult court, despite a long effort by the boy's attorneys to keep it in juvenile court. There are new state charges against three men connected to a slate of false electors in the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced charges on Tuesday against Attorney Jim Troupas and Trump administration advisors Ken Chesebro and Michael Roman. All three are accused of colluding to file a false set of electoral college votes. There are 10 felonies against each man, one for each of the false Republican electors who cast ballots. Prosecutors say text messages between the men and the electors show that they knew the slate of electors were false and that they sought to mislead those who took part in how those signatures would be used. Each felony charge carries a sentence of 6 years. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Pro-Palestinian protesters who disrupted a University's of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting last week will all be cited.
According to UW-Madison police, all 19 individuals arrested will receive a citation for violating a policy on intentionally creating noise that unreasonably interfered with sponsored or authorized activity. One protester is getting an additional citation for spitting on food inside the meeting room. UW police officers warned the group to stop disrupting the meeting, but they refused and continued before being arrested. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
For five generations, starting in 1883, Goodrich Funeral Home has been serving families in the area. The staff members of Goodrich Funeral Home will guide your family in creating a meaningful ceremony to honor the life and memory of a loved one. A ceremony can be anything you wish it to be, simple or elaborate, traditional or unique. No matter how it's tailored, such a ceremony is an important step in recovering from loss. Goodrich Funeral Home, our family serving your family for years to come.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers, accumulations should stay under an inch. But winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 14.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Here we have a glimpse into the markets in their natural habitat. See, over there, corn trading higher. Ooh, so are beans. And ooh, the wheat market is higher as well. Nobody move. Everybody stay very, very still.
Live from the foothills of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we cast our gaze on dairy. We begin with a conversation with Lucas Sostrom from Minnesota Milk. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Greg Mose from Mose Dairy in South Dakota and Grant Grinstead from Vierklar Farms in Wisconsin. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I am your handsome host, Davis Michelson, here with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to AgriTalk. Big day for dairy today. Karen Bonert is in the wings somewhere. She has set us up with some terrific guests to talk about the state of the dairy industry, to talk about interactions between buyers and sellers, to talk about the markets, and just get some dairy farmers out here front and center to talk to us. You know, tell us about what they've got going on, the challenges that they face, and how they plan to overcome those, or at least to face them. Karen is at the Milk Business Conference in sunny Las Vegas this week, and that is from where we derive Las Vegas. Yes, Milk Business Conference. That's where today's conversations come from. And we're really, really looking forward to it. I am behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk here with you. Chip, in case you're just joining us, Chip is out this week doing what Chip does. Some much needed time off. We miss you, buddy, but, your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk to keep us out of the rhubarb. It's going to be great. We've had some terrific guest hosts already this week so far. This afternoon, we've got Ted Seifried, the pride of Chicago himself, to talk markets with us, and I'm looking forward to that as well. As far as the markets go, yeah, kind of a funny little David Attenborough thing there at the beginning, but we do have corn slightly higher again, soybeans up about 3 cents. Ooh, look at the May, up 4.25 currently in the soybeans. Interesting setup in the soy complex because we've seen meal and oil working in opposite directions the last few days, and now we've got them both
mixed to mostly higher. Both flashing some green on the screen in the deferred contracts there. And then the wheats, even the spring wheat's trying to catch up here, up a couple of cents. But look out for that hard red wheat, up 3 cents. And then we're getting a nickel in the soft reds. The stock market, the Dow was off slightly. S&P and the triple Q both up just slightly. And why not? Let's run the table. Crude oil up about 75 cents this morning on your WTI contracts. A great group of guests today. I can't wait to dig into the conversation. And, of course, Margie Eckelkamp will be joining us here just after the news, which is coming up right now. I'll begin with the National Weather Service short-term outlook. Widespread heavy rain and severe thunderstorm threats spreading up the East Coast today and through New England into tonight. A surge of cold air into the eastern U.S. today will be followed by a surge of Arctic air into the northern U.S. through the next few days. Another round of significant lake effect snow expected through the next few days. Downwind from the Great Lakes. Hello, South Bend. Potential tariffs by the incoming Trump administration have increased demand for Ukrainian corn. This according to Hellenic Shipping News. While U.S. corn is the most economical option for European markets, traders have increasing concerns regarding potential tariffs and how that will impact global trade, encouraging more buyers to source corn from Ukraine. China's top leaders and policymakers are considering allowing the yuan to weaken in 2025 as they brace for higher U.S. trade tariffs as President Donald Trump returns to the White House. The potential strategy reflects China's recognition that it needs bigger economic stimulus to combat Trump's threats of punitive trade measures. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reportedly has a packed agenda with nearly two dozen meetings on Capitol Hill. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, noted plans to discuss Kennedy's impact on the ag sector, but stated that their meeting will wait until January. A lot of questions about what RFK Jr. is going to do, what he has in mind, and just how much rope the Trump administration will give him to pursue some of his plans. Janet Yellen, U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, has expressed regret over the lack of progress in reducing the fiscal deficit during her tenure. Her concerns come amid a $1.8 trillion federal budget deficit for fiscal year 2024. That's the third largest on record, surpassed only by pandemic-era deficits in 2020 and 21. On Tuesday, the House passed the Water Resources Development Act, or WRDA, of 2024 with overwhelming bipartisan support. This legislation authorizes vital projects for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to enhance water infrastructure across the nation. An analysis by the New York Times in collaboration with government officials and experts reveals that the recent U.S. immigration surge is the largest in history. Since 2021, net migration has exceeded 8 million people. That surpasses previous peaks in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Even after accounting for a larger population today, this surge slightly surpasses the migration rate during the Ellis Island era. As of mid-2023, 15.2% of the U.S. population was foreign-born. That's the highest since 1890. And with that, I'm going to bring in Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. Margie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Davis. Happy to be back. I had an excused absence last week. I was right. Actually on stage at the Agricultural Retailers Association, hosting a panel with industry experts all about how artificial intelligence will change and transform ag retail. So I was live talking about that then, but I'm here now and happy to be here.
I will allow it. We're happy to have you. Yeah, the ARA, the Ag Retailers Association Conference, is a big deal every year for you at The Scoop, isn't it?
Yep. So we were down in Houston with about 600 attendees, and ARA gave its biggest award, which is the Retailer of the Year. And that was received this year by the team at Button Willow Warehouse out of California. We'll dive deeper into them on a future show. So a little bit of a tease there. But we at The Scoop, in partnership with EverAg Agribusiness, also gave out an award, and that was the Business Innovation Award. That was received by the team out of Tolosa, Pono, Illinois, at United Prairie. And three quick trends that that team is really bringing to life out in the field would include their use of a customer portal and app, so digitizing that customer relationship. Number two is the way that they are using fleet management tools for more efficient dispatch out into the field from their fertilizer plant. And number three is using drone application. This team at Tolono really highlights how they can be technology risk takers. As long as that is really centered on the customer, it brings about success. So we were very proud to present that award to United Prairie. Folks can see the full details, not only in the latest issue of the Scoop magazine, but also at thedailyscoop.com.
Innovation, efficiency, and I'm just going to throw this one in there. Excellence as well characterizes what you do over there at the Scoop Market, and we're glad to have you this morning on Wednesday. We'll talk again real soon, all right? How's that sound?
Thanks, Davis.
That was Margie Eckelkamp from the Scoop. When we come back, Lucas Sostrom. AgriTalk is brought to you by Winfield United. Maximize crop performance potential by delivering a high load of zinc, manganese, and boron in one efficient application. MaxIn Ultra ZMB Plus. Built for it. Learn more at WinfieldUnited.com.
You need proven solutions built for specific agronomic needs. Supported by millions of data points, like countless wind tunnel trials and decades of answer plot research. Solutions you can rely on for stronger emergence, greater leaf coverage, and more. Contact your local Winfield United retailer to unlock the full potential of every field by taking a whole acre approach with crop protection solutions built for success. Built for you. Built for...
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. The Ad Council.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk. And thanks for tuning into AgriTalk on this Wednesday morning, December 11th. Christmas is right around the corner. Your pal, Davis Michelson, in for Chip Flory this morning. I'm going to bring in right away. Let's not waste any time. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen. 31 degrees. It's sunny here in Kansas City, but I suspect where you are, maybe just slightly warmer.
Slightly. It's a little chilly. I'm out west in Vegas. Of course, lights are bright, but yeah, it's definitely warmer than the Midwest. So I'll take it as a win. But we're here, Davis, for the Milk Business Conference, the 2024. Man, was yesterday a fun day. We've had record attendance. Just good conversations are happening.
That's terrific. This is a big deal for you every year, and we're really glad that we can kind of peek in here. But you've brought some guests with you for the show today. There are some conversations that you thought our listeners might enjoy, might benefit from. So why don't you go ahead, introduce who you've got with you there, bring in your guests, and we'll go from there, Karen.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I mean, as we put this agenda together, we try to make sure that we're dealing with or talking and discussing relevant topics, the opportunities and challenges that face the U.S. dairy producers from coast to coast. And so we brought in Edge Dairy Co-op. And so today I have Lucas Sjostrom, who's with Edge Dairy Co-op. Lucas is also a fellow dairy producer. So he gets this. He understands this life and this industry very much so. And so we brought them in because we really thought it was important to have an open dialogue, if you will, about how we can try to strengthen the processor and producer relationships. And so we're just really pleased to be working with Edge Dairy Co-op. Lucas, maybe you can talk to us a little bit more about your background, but then also why you guys thought that this was a good match to come out to Vegas for the Milk Business Conference.
Absolutely. Thanks, Karen, and thanks, Davis. We're excited to be here. As you said, I am a dairy farmer myself, but I'm part of a team at the Voice of Milk, which includes Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative Minnesota Milk. So that's a state trade association in Minnesota working on issues in St. Paul, and the Dairy Business Association in Wisconsin working similarly on dairy issues in Madison, along with Farmers for Sustainable Food. That's our 501c3 nonprofit. And between all four organizations that are part of the Voice of Milk, we really have dove into this head first. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone who knows the dairy industry that there are disputes. For some reason, dairy farmers want to make as much money on that milk check as possible. And for some reason, processors want to pay as little as possible, or at least not pay any more than they have to, is probably a better statement. And so when you have business like that, you've got situations where there's disputes. And in most cases, that's fine. People figure out business and create contracts and handshakes and move forward. But as you know, Karen, in dairy, it's a perishable product. And so that creates a whole nother range of issues. And I think I'll let you ask more questions. But we have some government regulations there. But I think the conversation today is, okay, maybe those aren't working. Or how can we explore to improve them and make them better? So that's what I hope we're able to talk about today.
Well, and we, excuse me, teeing up to this, we know the last several years since COVID that there have been, you know, those horror stories, if you will, Lucas, that you probably have been privy to producers calling you when they kind of lose their market overnight or get a letter in the mail that says that they have 30 days to find a new processor. So I think when we tee up, how do we strengthen processor-producer relationships, it's like building a level of trust where you feel secure. And it's a win-win for both that processor and the producer. Do you feel like that we're coming into the conference where we're at the height of the situation, where there is a lot of worries on producers' shoulders?
Yeah, I was able to have breakfast here this morning with Jacob Larson, who's going to be one of our panelists this late morning, and his wife Danielle, and he's from Florida. I'm from Minnesota.
Yep.
We had someone sitting next to us from Wisconsin. There's people from California. It's the same issues everywhere, maybe in a different way. And whether you ship to a co-op or a processor directly, Edge, one of our unique stances is we work for almost 900 members now who ship directly to private processors. So that's different than I think most of the milk of the country, 80% or 80% of the farms are shipping to cooperatives. But the dynamics are different. How do I get the most value out of there? And that's, you know, partially there's policies we can create and laws we can create to streamline that. But that's why we created Farmers for Sustainable Food, because we said, where can we thread the needle here where processors and farmers both win on sustainability projects, rather than processor A calling farmer B and saying, hey, will you do this for me? It's like, hold up. What does the end customer actually want? So, yeah, I think we're moving forward. I think it's good, but I can tell you, Karen, just last week, it's not always the full, hey, you're being dropped, but there was a farmer switching from one co-op to another, and they said, I think my co-op that I'm exiting paid me $2 less in the final month on the way out. Now, I think that's totally legal. I don't know if it's ethical, but I don't know if there's any laws to prevent that. But how do we get to a place where farmers want the upside? So that's why you don't want a hard contract of you know, let's go $25 for the full year. But that downside where you can race to the bottom real quick when things go bad, that's what we all want to avoid. And the processors, I think the progressive processors know that they want farmers to be in business and last and supply them for a long time. So when we can all work together, when things are good, we can move the ball forward. When things are tight, or when processors or farmers have too much power, all of a sudden we can really alienate the other side and make things worse for maybe the next months or years or even decade.
Yeah, well, those are all excellent points. I think when you think about strengthening processor-producer relationships, and Davis, maybe you have a thought here too. Yeah. I think, like I tell my husband, you know, what can really solve problems is communication, right? And so having fluid communication, having constant, maybe frequent communication. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I apologize. I don't know if that was for me or for Davis. But, I mean, that's where we try to, as a verification cooperative, that's what we try to do is work between farmer and processor. And I think that's what Jacob Larson was talking about this morning at breakfast, is he's on a co-op board. And guess what? Like I said at the beginning, the processors don't want to pay any more than they have to, as would any business. So the talk about the why and the how and the when is very, very important. And when you have a box sitting on a shelf at Amazon that can sit there for 12 months and you click and it's $4, and yeah, maybe it's guaranteed overnight delivery, but it takes 2 or 3 days. Well, that's one set of circumstances. But our federal milk marketing orders and laws, and I won't get into them today. We can have another 4-hour show on that another time. But I think the reason they're set up is we don't want to waste American resources. When we have farmers growing things from American soil, working hard to care for our cattle to produce high quality milk, if we're wasting those resources with this perishable product, that's where bad things come into play. Corn can sit in the bin for another year if you can't figure out how to get each other paid right now. But that milk's got to turn into something fast, and even that cheese and a lot of our products need to turn into something further fast before, 6 months, a year from now, before it goes to waste of American resources. So that's what this is all about, not to mention the business aspect of the individual farm and the individual processor. We want to just keep things optimized so we can create as much value in the chain as possible. So communication, yes, is absolutely key. That's why we're glad Farm Journal and Melk are helping us put on this discussion and all the great content you put out in your e-newsletters and your magazine. So thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this, Karen.
Lucas, I'm glad that you took us to the corn in storage and the idea that you can store and ignore. We have that luxury, and we spend an awful lot of time on AgriTalk talking about that sort of stuff. And one of the issues that keeps coming up is, you know, sort of dire economic projections for the farm, and they kind of come and go a little bit. But when we're talking row crops, 2025 could be a bit of a tricky year financially. What's the near-term outlook for the dairy industry, brother?
Well, I wish you would have asked me 3 months ago. It would have been a lot more fun to talk about. But honestly, the people in the cheese world, which I am not, but the people in the cheese world have told me as every time that word tariff hits the news, it seems like milk takes another ding. And it's not so much that we won't sell, it's just the cheese market worried about whether or not we will sell and at what price and to who. And with Mexico as our largest customer, and even though Canada has a quota system and it's very difficult for us to sell milk products into Canada, they are still always in the top three, usually in the top two of our milk products. So when we're going after Canada and Mexico on anything, I think that makes the dairy market very worried. I live in Minnesota. Our cooperatives and our state's number one market in Minnesota is Mexico. I believe that's the same in Wisconsin, and I know it's the same for the whole country. So Minnesota, Wisconsin, if you're not a geography major, they are not very close to Mexico. So for those being our number one market, that just shows you how important things like tariffs and trade talks can be to my farm and Karen's farm and people back wherever they live in the country.
You know what? I think I'm gonna cut you loose there, Lucas, before we run out of time. But let me just take a minute and thank you, Lucas Sjostrom with Edge Dairy. Thank you so much, Lucas. Have a great day.
Thank you both. Have a good one. Bye.
Karen,
thank you.
Stick around. Don't go anywhere. We've got Greg Mose and Grant Grinstead, a couple of dairy farmers. And I might need your help out on this this Farmer Forum conversation. Karen Bonert
We'll have a fun conversation.
Outstanding. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. She's clear out in Vegas, but she's taking some time to enlighten us and to bring some dairy folk to us. And we're so glad that she has. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of this break on AgriTalk.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim. Hey, bud.
Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Grain and livestock markets trading mixed to higher on Wednesday. This is the American Ag Network. I'm Corinne LaRue with this market update. Corn futures are 1 to 2 cents higher at midday Wednesday. Soybean futures are 3 to 4 cents higher, and wheat futures are 2 to 5 cents higher. On the WASD report, carryout came in 200 million bushels below last month at 1.7 billion bushels on export strength, with world stocks falling by 7.7 million metric tons to 296.4 million metric tons. Weekly export sales are expected to be in the 400,000 to 700,000 metric ton range. The USDA also raised U.S. corn exports by 150 million bushels and boosted ethanol corn usage by 50 million bushels, lowering ending stocks by 200 million bushels. While both moves are justifiable, USDA typically would have implemented these changes more gradually, especially the export increase, to ensure that demand wasn't driven by front-loaded buying at high prices. In addition, the USDA increased Brazil's domestic corn use by nearly 80 million bushels, contributing to a global stocks decrease of over 300 million bushels. U.S. corn stocks were reduced by 200 million bushels, but the USDA left its estimated marketing year average cash price at $4.10 per bushel. No changes were made to the U.S. soybean balance sheet, but the USDA cut its marketing year average cash price by 60 cents to $10.20 per bushel, marking a $4 decrease over the past 2 years. Crude oil is trading up 140 at $69.99. More in a minute on the American Ag Network.
North Dakota Farmers Union.
What do a tailgate party, policy debate, a futurist, silent and live auctions, a youth convention, and Miss North Dakota have in common? It's all happening at North Dakota Farmers Union State Convention in Bismarck, December 13th and 14th at the Event Center. A two-day extravaganza features plenty of fun, ag education, prize giveaways, and time to catch up with neighbors and friends. Register now through the NDFU app or online at ndfu.org. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
March corn up 3/4 at 449.5. January soybeans up 4.5 at 10.04¾. March wheat up 3.5 at 565¼. March Minneapolis wheat up 1.5 at 608. March Kansas City wheat up 2.5 at 568¼. December live cattle up $1.90 at 191.75. January feeder cattle up $1.50 at 258.85. And December hogs up 52 at 83.45. That's a look at markets. This is Corinne LaRue with the American Ag Network.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We're talking dairy this morning. Featured conversations from the Milk Business Conference. I am your pal, Davis Michelson, in for Chip Flory. He'll be back next week. Don't worry about it. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk also joins. Karen, so glad that you are here today. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. We're going to get into this farmer forum, Karen. Don't go away, but I want to get to know these fellas just a little bit first before you rake them over the coals and really dig deep here. Let me start with Greg Mose, Mose Dairy in South Dakota. A little bit on Mose Dairy. 2016, the dairy started selling their own Limousine on Holstein cross calves, built and finished their new calf and heifer facility in 2021. A panelist on our Beef on Dairy panel, Greg Mose from Mose Dairy. Welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, just fine. I'm looking out the window here at Caesar's Palace and it looks sunny, shiny, and warm, but back at home, it's not so good.
I'm sure. Well, these cows probably aren't going to milk themselves. You got them covered back home?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh. We got the whole crew that unbelievable what we have for the people that work with on the dairy.
Yeah, now we can get into it a little bit deeper, but kind of give us the elevator speech on your interest in beef on dairy.
Beef on dairy, just kind of cover it. It started when we started DNA testing, and we tried to go DNA. Well, first we used the sex semen. We had heifers up going out the door. We didn't know what to do with it, and then we DNA test. Didn't know what DNA test, what that would do for us. They had all the numbers, but and then all of a sudden the light bulb come on. Let's take the good ones and breed them back to sex semen. The next ones come in with the beef bull. And it's been all over the board from Limousine to Angus to right now it's most of it's Akaushi, a specialty market of the Wagyu.
That sounds delicious. I'm not sure I can pronounce that last one, but I'll try anything twice. Let me also bring in Grant Grinstead, Vierklar Farms in Wisconsin. Got about 2,000 cows, farming 2,800 acres, recently taken on a secondary site. This is very interesting to me. They also run a digester, which is producing renewable electric power for approximately 800 homes. Grant Grinstead from Vierklar Farms, welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'll clarify a couple of things there.
Yes.
Probably since that press release took place, we've actually switched over to renewable natural gas.
Really?
And so instead of making kilowatts, we're making pipeline quality grade gas.
Wow.
That would be equivalent to powering about 1,000 cars a year from our dairy in Fond du Lac.
I slept through much of my high school science classes. You're going to have to help me understand what this digester is and how it powers, how it creates electricity, or in your case, gas.
Sure. So all the waste that's generated from the dairy, the cow manure waste, could be some grass clippings, could be some, you know, waste feed that the cows don't eat, will end up in that digester. And because all those products are organic, through the decomposition process, it generates methane. And then we harvest the methane from the digester tanks, and it goes through a cleaning process where we concentrate the methane, remove the CO2, remove any other impurities, and then it's injected into the pipeline where there's companies out there that would have fleets where they've maybe replaced the diesel engine for a natural gas engine, and they would be purchasing this gas or this type of gas from facilities like ours.
Grant, this sounds like some pretty intense infrastructure that needed to be added to your operation there. I can't imagine the expense that it took, but now you've upgraded from electric to gas. It seems like it's going well. You're turning a profit on this thing?
Yeah, we've been doing this since 2004, so we're 20 years into this.
Wow.
And some change. And so, yeah, we got really good at making kilowatts and taking that methane and burning it into a couple Caterpillar engines. And, you know, it's a great story to tell within our community of, you know, how that we can be a dairy, but, you know, we can also be conscious of our resources.
Sure.
And be aware of our carbon footprint and then be able to supply something back to America. And so that's part of our tagline
is Verclaire Farms producing milk and power for America.
Wow. Wow. Milk and power. I like that. I like that. Well, Greg and Grant, I'm sure that you know Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I've got her standing by. Karen, why don't I open the chute? What would you like to talk to these fellas about?
Well, first of all, these are two exceptional dairy producers. And I know that to run a dairy of their size and their scale, it takes, like Greg mentioned earlier, it takes a team, right? They have an amazing team that's helping them. And with Grant, his farm nominated one of their employees who's been with them for 14 years, who just received, Davis, last night, the 2024 Milk Business Employee Excellence Award. Wow. And that was Joaquin. And so, Grant, maybe talk to us. I mean, what was that like for you to be in the room when you see one of your employees who's been so dedicated and so valuable to you to get up on stage and be recognized?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a very proud moment. I know for both my wife and I to be able to see one of our employees that's been with us for a very long time, and he's not alone. I mean, our retention rate is phenomenal, but to see Joaquin get that award for, you know, his excellence in his role, you know, it was very gratifying for me to be able to have one of our employees up there and be able to receive that award.
Well, he was so humble, so wonderful to visit with. And he's like, this award, he's like excited to take it back to Verclaire and Fond du Lac, that this award's a team award. You know, he recognized that it takes a whole team that he helps, you know, build this positive culture with. And he was taking that award back to Fond du Lac, and this was for the team. So I loved it all. And Greg, I'm sure with your team, talk to me a little bit and share with our audience how many employees you guys have and what your labor is like there in South Dakota.
I'm very cold. we're like any other good operation, any other good business, whether it be dairy or anything else. We retain the people that we work with on our farm. I guess I don't use the word, you'll never hear me say employees, because we're people we work with on a dairy. You know, everybody around us for years have said, oh, you're the big dairy, you're making millions and everything else. I said, all we're doing is we provide a place for people to come and work and to provide for their families and everything else. So, you know, we talk about, we have somewhere around 35 families that we work with on a dairy. They're the ones that are producing the milk. They're the professionals. They harvest the milk. They take care of the animals. They're the professionals at this. We just give them the tools and how we can structure the training and everything else in the time. How do we make their time so they have as much everything to move around as much as we do, so they can go to training, they can have time with the families, everything. So they're at the same level we are. The standards aren't any different for them as they are for us.
Well, I love it. Both of you obviously have established a very positive workforce culture there that makes it feel more like working with, you know, family and friends than just, you know, like you said, just an employee. It's hard. I know, being a dairy farmer myself, I mean, the workload never ends. It truly is 365 days a year. Why did you see value of pushing pause and coming to Vegas for the Milk Business Conference? We're now into day two. You know, what all did you enjoy yesterday as you were at this conference? Grant, go ahead and talk to us about that.
Well, I think yesterday, you know, it led off with a couple of key talks surrounding the aspect of, you know, the transition side of our business that Hannah Thompson, Weeman talked about. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, also too, prior to that, being able to, from the DMI group, to, you know, understand what is coming in the pipeline with technology surrounding milk, you know, was kind of fascinating. And yeah, it was kind of some deep science at times, but I think we've got to be, as producers, aware of these opportunities of where our product can go from a commodity to a value add piece, you know, with inside this human, you know, nutrition aspect, and where can we get more value from our product that we're harvesting every day. And so that was exciting for me. And upcoming today, I think when we look at and hear about what can we do as owners, managers, to improve that, you know, employee retention rate, you know, their overall job satisfaction. I'm excited for the day to kind of hear some things along those parameters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as putting this event on, what we hope is that a producer can take back, you know, one thing that sticks with them that they could implement that makes a difference on their farm. Greg, I know that we were able to visit a little bit yesterday. What did you enjoy about yesterday?
Oh, just to know that, you know, so many farmers, they look at their milk check. Here's what's being spent for advertising. But boy, when they, you know, we've known that they've been working, going out with their advertising dollars and targeting, you know, where was cheese being used. This went to a whole different level now. You know, sure, it was really complicated to look at, but you have to realize that this is a health that they're breaking into and making science out of, you know, milk. Something that's going to really, I think that's where we're going to go about it into as far as coming in and having some more of our product being used for a health benefit. So that and the AI that they were hooking with it. I mean, we're hearing about AI and everything else on different companies, but this really hits close to home when they're talking about what they can glean off of AI can make things happen within seconds instead of years.
Let me hop in right there. I'd kind of like to hear more about that on the other side of the break here. We've got Greg Mose and Grant Grinstead along with our friend Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. One more seg here on AgriTalk. Stick around, everybody.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 866-89-BIBLE. That's 866-89-BIBLE. 866-89-BIBLE.
Tyler Steinkamp, Crop Protection Product Manager with Winfield United, joins us now. Tyler, many farmers saw higher disease pressures this past season as they make plans for fungicide applications for that 2025 crop. What are some tips for making the most of those purchasing decisions?
The first thing would be to identify and prioritize spraying a highly responsive hybrid out in your fields. These scores come from years of Winfield United answer plot yield data and indicate how each hybrid will respond to a fungicide application to help decide which ones to spray. Also, you can use that fungicide trip to add other yield-enhancing products like Maxin micronutrients or biostimulants to increase the return on the investment on that fungicide application. Maximizing its effectiveness by adding a premium adjuvant is key.
Okay, so what's an adjuvant that you would recommend to help drive a better return?
MasterLock is my go-to adjuvant recommendation for fungicide applications. It reduces drift potential and gets more active ingredients deeper into the canopy where many of the diseases actually begin. It contains a surfactant that also helps to stick and spread on the leaf surface for better absorption, and it's safe to use on corn at any growth stage as well.
Okay, Tyler, so what kind of a yield bump will growers see?
Our trials with MasterLock show about 5.7 bushels better on corn above what just the fungicide alone would do based on answer plot data. Our wheat average is about 3.7 bushels when combined with the fungicide as well.
Fantastic. Where can listeners go for more information, Tyler?
Talk to your local ag retailer or visit WinfieldUnited.com.
Thank you, Tyler. That is Tyler Steinkamp, Crop Protection Product Manager with Winfield United.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk, along with Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. Karen, so glad that you are here this morning. We've got Greg Mose and Grant Grinstead. Karen, out in sunny Las Vegas at the Milk Business Conference. Fellas, come on back in here. Karen, let's just continue the conversation there. We had a good one going. Keep us going.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I this year, Davis, we have record attendance at Milk Business Conference, and I have to think part of that is, of course, we have an amazing lineup, right, of,
sure.
of speakers talking about, the you know, what's the challenges and opportunities that face our dairy farmers. But Grant and Greg, I we're smiling a little bigger than we were a year ago. 2024 definitely delivered a better milk price. I always say that we like great milk price, right? But in the past, we've been teased with great milk price. It only lasts for a few months, a month or two, and it doesn't get us very far. So I'd rather have good prices last longer. Greg, talk about how this last year has been for you guys there in South Dakota and maybe future opportunities that you guys are looking at.
Probably the right in South Dakota, the explosion of dairy farms and cattle and milk and everything in the state, along with the processing. It's an exciting time for South Dakota where, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we were looking at not even having any dairy farms. Now we've come up to the top of the pile. And with the expansion and everything, as far as on our dairy, when the expansion of the processing was coming in, we kind of went out and said, well, you build it and we're going to build too. So that's what we're the next look at around in our area is the expansion of even on our farm is a different direction of making maybe fine tuning our dairy farm plus an expansion of maybe a robotic area or everything else. And then the other thing with ours that we're just really glad we did is back in 2021, right after COVID, we decided instead of sending all of our animals to out of state for young animals, we invested in a state-of-the-art heifer raising facility. And we did that. When we did that, we were raising in a different facility. That facility became so there wasn't anything in it. So then we were raising the beef on dairy. And that part of it is just that's carried when the milk prices were low, the beef carried our dairy farm, and that's the other expansion. We're just trying to how we can fine tune that better. Because we raise from wet calves all the way up to finished, and that's just a whole different market. We're dairy farmers. We're not beef producers.
Now every morning you look at the milk price, but then you go look at what beef prices are doing. So it's a whole different thing, and nobody, you know, we're trying to learn how to feed the beef on dairy, how to get them to grow, where it's entirely different than when we had a straight Holstein or they had a straight beef. So those are the challenges and the things that opportunities we're looking for the next year here.
Yeah, we can appreciate that. You know, it's been nice to add that alternative profit line on that beef on dairy. And like you said, in 2023, when milk prices were not there, a lot of dairies at least had that opportunity, that additional income that in previous years they didn't have. So that's great. Grant, talk to me about 2024, what that year's looked like for you guys. And as you look at, to flip the calendar soon and go to 2025, what are you guys excited about?
Sure. Well, you know, a couple of things that we're fortunate. We have that fifth generation that's just around the corner starting to come back to the operation in just a few years. And so as we look to where we find places for that next generation, it kind of forced our hand to start looking at how do we expand our operation. And so we had an opportunity to actually become a multi-state dairy company and purchase a facility in Northern Illinois. And so it's been exciting to take on that challenge. You know, it has a little distance to it, but I think we've all played a role within our ownership team of being down there and working with that set of employees there to fold them into our culture at Verclair and show them that, hey, we're behind them and all the things that we heard our guy Joaquin talk about yesterday and praising, you know, the rest of his staff that he oversees. You know, he's down there, you know, spreading the Verclair culture to that group there. And so that's exciting for us as we look forward into 2025. You know, I think there's going to be some opportunities for us as we look at utilizing some artificial intelligence technology within our operation to monitor milking performance, use it as a training tool back with our employees and new employees that we hire going forward. And so we're kind of really excited about those things.
Well, that's awesome. It is all about efficiency, right? And Joaquin at dinner last night was telling me, you know, just how much you guys have been able to push the needle on that Illinois dairy in just a few months, Grant. So it has been a true team push, right?
Exactly. It's been very exciting. And it goes to show you, when you put a good team together and work for a common goal, it's amazing what you can get done.
Well, that's fantastic. I always wonder, like, what is the secret sauce that makes the Milk Business Conference, you know, work and be so successful? And I think of the dairy farmers all across the United States who are so successful. It's the attention to detail. It's the small things that add to big success.
That's spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what we can glean coming out here on our operations, we don't get to rub elbows with a lot of, we do with some industry people, but here we got a lot of industry people and we got a lot of producers from across the United States. That's what we can glean on what we're all the same, but we're different. That's what it's really and really brings us to the table here.
Yeah, I love that. It is really about networking. I told people yesterday morning, especially those that might be a little bit more shy, don't get off the farm very much, but, you know, go meet somebody from a different part of the country. Somebody might milk a lot more cows or a lot fewer cows than you do, but we all generally have the common values, right? We're all passionate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody, Greg Mose from Mose Dairy in South Dakota, Grant Grinstead from Verclair Farms in Wisconsin. Thank you, fellas, for being here and taking some time to share your story, your operation, and your thoughts with us. We really appreciate it. Well done, fellas.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And also Karen Bonert. Karen, wow. What a show you've put together here for us today.
Just some of the awesome producers that we get to work with. What an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your blood, sweat, and tears in getting this information out to our listeners. I know we're all better informed for it. This afternoon, we've got Ted Seifert coming up, the pride of Chicago. We'll be going through the markets and all the stuff, and I'll be around as well. So for Karen Bonert, Big Apple Joe, and myself, Davis Michelson, hey, there's more AgriTalk coming up at 2:06 Central.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim. Hey,
bud. Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all-day freshness.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Ray to resign. I'm Michelle Franzen. FBI Director Christopher